Well, it was interesting because in my understanding through biochemistry courses and protein chemistry courses, I was informed already that that what causes a protein to change shape is called a signal. A signal can be a particle. And now that we know that quantum mechanics is the foundation of the universe, we also recognize that particles are actually energy, and that even pure energy waves could be signals. So biology has to recognize that signals, either in the form of physical things such as drugs or hormones or growth factors, can influence proteins. So can signals that are not physical, etheric signals, such as radio waves and light waves and sound waves. All of these forms of energy are also signals. But how does a signal cause a protein to move? And the answer is this. The shape of a protein is finally realized when all the positive and negative charges in the protein are balanced as the protein folds in such a way to neutralize all of its charges. However, when a protein folds up, it actually looks like a little wire sculpture. Imagine that first you start with this long, straight strip of wire, but by folding it and kinking it and looping it, you can actually create a three-dimensional structure. Well, proteins are the equivalent of wire structure, the wire being the long protein backbone. But the wire will fold itself into particular shapes based on how it can balance its positive and negative charges. When doing so, we get a three-dimensional protein, a wire sculpture, so to speak. These sculptured proteins frequently have little pockets or clefts or little parts on their surface that can plug into things in our world, other chemicals, other atoms, other elements, so that, imagine this, the protein could act like a baseball glove. It can be shaped just like a baseball glove, and in the pocket, a ball can fit in. The ball would be tantamount to a signal. So imagine that we have a protein that folds itself up into the shape of a baseball glove, and that's the protein. I said, well, what's the signal that can influence it? And the answer is, what chemical will have the precise shape of the baseball and the charge distribution that will allow that baseball to plug into the pocket in that glove? So I look at the protein as the baseball glove and the signal as the baseball. And in this particular case, the signal has a charge to it. So while the baseball glove is the conformation that is stable for that particular protein, as soon as the baseball enters the glove, the charges are altered because the baseball is bringing its own charges with it. In the face of the new charges, the protein wire, the backbone of the protein, the peptide, changes its shape to accommodate the new charges and then looks for a second shape that now is more stable when the baseball is present. So essentially what it says is this. The baseball glove, the protein, has a conformation A. But when the baseball fits into the pocket of the glove, it causes the charges to change, and the protein rewraps itself into a different shape. Now we call that conformation B. But the critical part about this is the movement that occurs as the protein is changing from shape A to shape B. Because if you can use that movement to drive work, then you can create functions. So for example, let's consider the baseball glove protein to be a digestive enzyme and the baseball to be a particle of food. As the baseball enters into the glove, it causes the protein to change shape. As the protein changes shape, it breaks the baseball and then you express digestion. And so basically, the shape changes of a protein can be used to do something like break the baseball down into building blocks, and that would be a digestion process. The other possibility is that I can put a bunch of pieces in the glove, and then it changes shape and squeezes the pieces together and actually creates something. So digestion and synthesis actually represent the same kind of process, but going in opposite directions. And yet what we're really looking at is digestion is an active process. How did it occur? The movement of the glove. Yeah, but the glove is protein. Why did the protein move? And the answer is because the food molecule acted as a signal that forced the protein to change its backbone. And in that changing process, the action is converted into the process of digestion. As a result of that, we start to recognize, yes, there's an action involved with proteins. It's the action that animates life. And when you look at the human body with over 100,000 different proteins, all these different actions of each different protein collectively integrated into a giant machine represents what the human body is all about. That the proteins of our body are programmed by the nature of the genes that we have. But here's an interesting point. Well, the gene acts as a blueprint, and I can build a protein using the blueprint of the gene. The protein doesn't express any life, and the gene doesn't cause it to have a life. The gene only provides a blueprint to make the protein. The life that we observed, the movement of the protein, wasn't controlled by the protein. It was influenced by the signal. And all of a sudden you say, well, wait, what does this really represent? It says, well, there's two parts to life, the physical part that makes us and the signal parts that control the movements from which we get our life characters, our physiology, able to express the characters of a living organism. So all of a sudden I say, oh, genes actually didn't control life in this sense, did they? Genes made the protein, but it was the signal in the protein interaction that produced the characteristic experiences of life.